Now, tonight's broadcast doesn't really need an introduction, but according to the union rules, we announcers have to say something before comedy shows, usually using the words irreverent and zany, which I have now done.
Welcome to Concrete Cow, a sketch show made from words and actors.
Lesser-known novels number one, James Fenimore Cooper's early work, The First of the Mohicans.
My brothers, we enter this battle with the pale face as one. May the spirit of the eagle and of the bear ride with us. Let us unite under the sky of our forefathers to defend our sacred land from the white settlers. I will lead with my only son, Hawkeye, by my side. Hold it, drummer. Sorry, Hawkeye, what have you done to your hair?
Don't you like it?
It's all sticking up in the middle.
I know. It took me ages. It's the fashion.
It looks stupid.
It'll frighten the enemy.
Reduce them to laughter, more like.
Oh. Come on, Dad.
Go and wash it out. You look like a parrot. Now, go and get rid of that stupid sticky up hair before your mother sees it.
Oh, Dad.
No. No son of mine is going into battle with his hair looking like that.
Oh, all right.
I'm going. Good. I've never seen anything so ridiculous. Now, drummer. Thank you. To battle. Let us ride into history. Let our name never be forgotten as we strike terror into the hearts of our enemies and our memory be on the lips of man forever. Or my name's not Big Chief Curly Perm of the Mullet Tribe.
What I understand is how Jenny says we never talk, but then whenever I try and engage her in conversation about something, she just doesn't show any interest.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know, for example, I try and strike up a conversation about a timeless piece of literature, The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, the ultimate work of good and evil, which practically invented the fantasy genre.
Exactly. So I asked her whether she would rather have the ring, the force, or the powers of Superman.
The eternal question.
Yeah, but she doesn't even engage with the subject. And when pressed, she went for...
Let me guess, powers of Superman, because...
Because he gets the girl. Yeah, exactly. So then I argued that you'd be much better off with the ring.
What?
You'd be much better off with the ring.
What? You nuts?
I think you'll find that the ring will beat the force any day.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the ring would turn you evil.
Okay, let's just be completely logical and rational about this. You're effectively saying that Obi-Wan Kenobi could take single-handed Dark Lord Sauron.
Okay, that is a totally unrealistic parallel. Like, Dark Lord Sauron is the embodiment of evil with extensive powers beyond the ring. It's not a fair contest.
Do you think Dark Lord Sauron plays fair? Wake up and smell the coffee, Mike. Take the ring.
Oh, looks like someone's fallen under its power.
I have not. Anyway, you're the one who's underestimating the powers of the dark side.
Don't patronise me.
Okay, okay.
All right, what about choosing between the powers of Batman or Spider-Man?
Well, although Batman's got the classier look...
Obviously.
...you'd have to go with Spider-Man, because at least some of his powers are intrinsic to his genetic makeup, as opposed to Batman, who is heavily dependent on accessories, which sooner or later will prove to be unreliable.
Well, I couldn't disagree with that, no.
But if I can just come back to my original point, this is a proper discussion. We're talking like adults, but... When I try and draw Jenny into this kind of conversation, nothing.
Small coffee, please.
Certainly. Espresso, latte or mocha?
Latte.
Latte! Regular decaf or treble caf twitcher?
What? Regular.
Regular! Full cream, skimmed or soy?
What? Skimmed.
Skimmed! Paper, recycled paper or novelty?
What's that?
Type of cup. You have to choose a type of cup.
Look, could we skip this bit? I need, recycled paper. I am in a bit of a hurry.
Recycled! Mild, medium or frightful?
Mild, medium or frightful? What?
Oh, your hurry, sir. Is it mild, medium or frightful?
Look, can I just have my coffee?
Frightful! Froth, squirty cream or non-dairy squirty cream?
What?
Froth, squirty cream or non-dairy squirty cream on the top?
I don't care!
You've got to choose.
Oh, Jesus, cream then!
Sprinkles?
No!
You've got to.
Oh, all right, yes then!
Chocolate, vanilla or cinnamon?
Look, I've had enough of this. I'm getting really...
Annoyed, cross or furious?
Look, just give me a... Just give me a small, regular, milky coffee with froth and no bloody sprinkles to take away before I smack you on!
Oh, fist, open palm or knuckle duster. Have a nice day. Excuse me?
Yes, madam.
These eggs, are they free range?
Oh, yes.
They're very expensive. Do you have any cheaper ones?
Well, do you actually care about the chickens?
No.
Yes, well, just step this way, madam, and let me show you our decidedly dodgy range.
Decidedly dodgy?
Yes, we've discovered that for every person who wants free range organic fair trade produce, there's someone else who doesn't care at all. Yes, for example, this unfair trade coffee was produced by ill oppressed underaged orphans made to work through the night in hot countries, and when they leave the plant at 5 a.m. for an hour's sleep, we then nick their beans.
Yeah, but it's cheap though.
Cheap as chips. Just like this GM soya enhanced burger made from a special soya bean whose DNA has been copyrighted by an American multinational firm, through which litigation has driven the South American tribes who discovered this bean into desperate poverty.
Wow, that does sound cheap.
Yeah, well, it has to compensate for the part of the burger which is 5% decidedly dodgy beef, which is very, very expensive to produce.
Why?
Well, it comes from a cow that's been genetically modified to become highly conscious of its own mortality. It sees its relatives being led to their own death and so on. Yeah. And as it sees them being led away, signs are held up around the pen which say, Daisy, you're next. Yeah. Just to heighten its sense of the futility of its existence. Hence the expense.
But isn't that excessively cruel?
But isn't that excessively cruel?
Sorry.
Do you wear leather shoes?
Yes, I do.
And do you drink milk?
Yes, I do.
You see?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I was very confused, but I'm not anymore. You're right. I do wear leather shoes and I do drink milk.
Good. Here's some panda milk. Get it while it lasts.
Ooh, sounds yummy.
On the house.
Oh, you're very kind.
No, I'm not.
Lesser known books number 2. The early work of Alexander Dumas.
Ah, jailer, I am King Louis XIV of all France, and I wish to see the prisoner.
Ah, your majesty, as per your instruction, I have imprisoned the man in the deepest, blackest part of the Bastille.
Good, good. Now, I hope, jailer, you received my letter. No one must know of this man's identity, and it was upon these instructions that you should have encased his head in an iron mask.
What?
His identity was to have been concealed with an iron mask.
Ah, an iron mask, you say?
That's right. This man is doomed to spend his days locked in the most terrible of devices.
Right. I may have,
Mon Dieu, what have you done?
Well, your majesty, when I got your letter, the bottom had been torn. There was a bit missing, so when I got it, I thought it said to conceal his identity with, an iron.
An iron? You put the prisoner's head in an iron?
Well, to be honest, I thought it was a bit stupid. I tried a number of alternatives. I had his head in a kettle for the first 3 days, then a toaster, and then one of those sandwich makers. But to be honest, the man in the Breville, it just seemed to arouse more suspicion from the curious.
But it looks ridiculous. The image of the iron mask is supposed to be a symbol of oppression and terror. This man with an iron on his head just looks like a very small branch of comet.
Well, it does the job, your majesty. Oh. The iron on his head is cumbersome, so he suffers much discomfort. His face is obscured, so none may gaze upon it. And as an extra bonus, he can remove creases without steaming, even at a low setting.
Oh. Well, as long as he remains hidden...
And so he shall, my liege, with the advantage that should anyone try to rescue him, they'll just think they've stumbled into the laundry room by mistake.
Jenna, you have served all France well. And now let us move to the next prisoner, the one I said should be taken from here and imprisoned in the arse end of my mother country.
Ah. Yeah, that's the other torn letter. I'm not sure you're going to be quite so keen on this one. Right, order, order, settle down, order, right, thank you very much. Now, may I bring to order the annual general meeting of the Town Guild of Sodom? Now, first on the agenda. Now, I am afraid to say that tourism has dropped to an all-time low. In fact, I think I'm right in saying Lot, son of Haran, was the only visitor we've had in the last year.
Oh, dear.
Yes, yes. Now, what we need is something to really put us on the map, something that can make us all look at each other in the eye and say, yes, I am proud to come from Sodom. I am proud to call myself a sodomite.
How about we build a great wheel which people can go on and get an amazing view of the whole city?
Feels more of a Babel idea, to be honest. No, what we need is something that will really attract any holidaying Israelites.
Ooh, how about burning ass? Then we can say, ooh, Israelite.
Yes, very funny. I've never heard that one before. Now, come on, seriously. We need something that will really put us on the map.
Oh, well, the Babylonians have got that amazing prosy, haven't they? You know, nine heads can satisfy a whole tour party in one go. They get a lot of Hittites.
Yes, now, precisely. We need something special, unique to our town. Something that you can say, that's Sodom.
Well, what about we develop a sport all of our own? Or perhaps an event or pastime.
What do you mean? Like those mad blokes in Somerset who roll the cheese down the hill every Easter?
Yeah, exactly.
But what pastime did you have in mind?
Well... run with me on this one. You remember when you were at boarding school, right? In the showers after games.
Yeah, carry on.
And you remember you'd be mucking about and you'd just start flicking each other with your wet towels and then you'd be helping dry off your friend's soapy body.
Go on.
Well, you know the thing that... Well, let me draw you a diagram.
Oh.
You see this... Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking, why don't we specialise in that?
It's certainly different.
It's bold, imaginative and forward-looking.
Yeah, and you can't do it in Jericho.
All right, let's try it for a month. If it bumps up business, great. If it turns out to be a real pain in the arse, we can always try cheese rolling. Okay, next item on the agenda, town twinning with Gomorrah. Right now, can somebody remind me what they do in Gomorrah again? You're right, mate.
It's Jenny.
Oh, what is it now?
For my birthday, she goes and gets me this.
But you love computer games.
Read the box.
Alien versus Predator for the PC.
Like that's any kind of contest. Predator would have the alien for breakfast.
It would not!
I think Predator's powers of invisibility make him undefeatable.
Arnie did.
That was just a film. In the actual arena of combat, the alien doesn't stand a chance.
Well, depends what they're given to fight with.
How do you mean?
Okay, take the Dirty Dozen versus the Magnificent Seven.
Not exactly a comparison, is it?
Well, all right, we'll give the Magnificent Seven Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Continue.
Now, think about it. Dirty Dozen's firepower is going to blow away the Magnificent Seven any day of the week.
One grenade and it's all over.
Exactly, but make it pistols only and it's a different story.
Yeah, but by that logic, the Magnificent Seven could take the Seven Samurai and that's just all wrong.
No, it must be right. At the right discipline, anyone could beat anyone else. Seven Samurai, great with swords, crap at hopscotch. In this, they must bow to the superior Secret Seven.
I suppose.
Anyway, are you going to play this computer game or not?
Might take it back and change it.
What for?
Captain Scarlet versus the Thunderbirds. That should be a good contest.
Aren't you forgetting something?
What?
Captain Scarlet, indestructible.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Diary, 8th of February 1912. I do not think we will be able to progress any further. Already we have lost Captain Oates and the supplies are... Hello? Oh, Carmen Evans. Now why have you disturbed me? You know I'm writing my diary.
It was Wilson and I. We were just wondering if you knew whatever happened to old Captain Oates. He went outside for a walk all those months ago and there's been no sign of him since.
I'm sorry, Evans, but I fear we won't be seeing brave Captain Oates again.
Oh, dear. You've thought about trying the internet, of course.
Oh, not this bloody internet thing again.
Oh, but, Captain, you could try and find Oates on this new site everyone's going on about.
What site's that, then?
You know, polarexplorersreunited.com.
Now, you know I'm no good with all this new technology. I mean, my son understands it all, but I can't even set the video. I must have missed hundreds of EastEnders while we've been here.
No, it's really simple. You go to the website, www.polarexplorersreunited.com.
Well, don't you have to log in and be a member? Oh, just forget it, Evans. Oates must be dead by now.
Let me show you, Captain. It's easy. You click on what pole you went to. Did we go to the North or the South Pole, Captain?
Oh, South Pole, you fool.
Sorry, Captain. So you click on the South Pole and the year of your group. See, here we are.
Oh, look, there's me. Oh, click on it. What does it say?
Scott, Robert Falcon, went on expedition to the South Pole.
Good God, it's very clever, isn't it, this worldwide name thing? Oh, hang on a minute. Shackleton. Oh, the little liar, he never made it to the pole. He got stuck on an iceberg and went home.
Oh, look, there's Oates. He is listed after all. I knew it.
My God, so he is. What does it say?
Oates, Lawrence, still living in South Pole, and I'm now working in IT. Oh, and look, it has his email address, oates@coldmail.com.
Gosh, you know, we must send him an email sometime, meet up like the old days. Anyway, forget this and show me lesbianpolarbears.com again, would you? Right, now, if you could just leave me on my own now, please, Evans. I may be some time.
Take a seat, darling.
Thank you.
Now, have you ever had a tarot reading before?
No, and to be honest, I've always been a bit sceptical about this sort of thing in the past, but... recently, my husband's left me, and I've lost my job, and my life has just totally collapsed, and I thought, why not?
Well, let's cut the deck and see if the cards can bring some good news.
Yes, please.
Okay, first card. Death.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It can just mean change. Next one. Death.
Isn't that bad?
Oh, no, just lots of change. It's only bad if you get, like, you know, five in a row. Death. Death. Death, right. I'm sure that's nothing to worry about.
Do you often get five in a row like that?
No, but, you know, first time for everything. Things are bound to improve from here on in. Death. Death, I have to say, I thought there were only five death cards in the whole pack. Death. Death. Skeletor. Now, that shouldn't be in there. Death. The Hanged Man. Okay. Oh, and the face on the card seems to be your face. Odd. Unusual, but doesn't have to be interpreted morbidly. It just depends on the next. Death. Right. I'm getting a clearer picture. How are you feeling about this? Hello? Are you, Hello? Oh. Now that is spooky.
It's a pretty big warehouse.
You don't have to tell me, Gary.
How big actually is it?
You play football, Gary.
Not really.
Can you imagine 20 football pitches, 5x4?
No.
Well, can you imagine one football pitch, a big one, about the size of this warehouse?
Right.
Well, that's the kind of size we're talking about here, Gary. Let me tell you how big it is in relation to a double-decker bus.
Must you?
You never had a building described to you in buses before.
Only one.
And what was that?
A bus depot.
Right. Well, I've been to a few big places in my life, and let me tell you, not once have they failed to tell me how many double-decker buses they could fit in.
Right. To be honest, I'd rather you gave me the measurement in metres.
Do you know what?
What?
We don't bother with metres anymore.
Why?
They're arbitrary, useless, invented by the French to confuse the world.
Really?
You ever ridden on a double-decker bus, Gary?
No.
You and me both, Gary. But the point is, you can picture a double-decker bus, right? You think, double-decker bus? Yeah, I can see that. It's a unit of measurement that everyone can relate to.
So we've abandoned the metre altogether?
Pretty much, Gary. You've got your five main units of measurement these days. You've got your football pitch. You've got your double-decker bus. You've got your Nelson's column. You've got your area the size of Wales. And finally, you've got your what we call the moon and back. Everyone's doing it, Gary. Everybody's doing it. Coffee through here. Lesser known novels number 3, the classic work of D.H. Lawrence.
Mrs. Bolton, have you seen the good Lady Chatterley?
Not since breakfast, Lord Clifford. I spoke to the kitchen maid not half an hour past, and she says she saw my lady going into the garden.
She has been spending an awful lot of time within the garden of late. I wonder what she's finding so fascinating. What has she down there that I cannot give her up here? She always returns to the house, red of face, petticoats askew and breathless, as though she's been taking some form of strenuous exercise.
My lord, out of the window, down by the lake. There she is now.
Good lord, what is she doing? Throw open the sash so we may see more clearly.
She appears to be mowing the lawn again, my lord.
Curses, that damn woman spends more time with that flymer than she does with her own husband.
Lady Chatterley's Hover, the timeless story of a trapped woman who finds comfort in the blades of an electric mower. It's a lot less bother than a lover.
Yeah. Who was the author?
Aristophanes. He's new.
Oh, I've got some gossip for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know Menelaus, a sculptor I liked?
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure he doesn't fancy me.
Oh, well, he probably would have said something by now if he did, eh?
Oh, you're so right. Oh, I love spending time with you, Plato. I feel I can tell you anything.
Good.
It's like we have a special kind of friendship.
Yeah.
Like a really deep bond.
Yeah.
And one that's completely non-sexual.
Ah.
It's almost like a brother-sister thing.
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly.
And I feel I can tell you anything because you're not going to come on to me.
Well, you never could rule it out.
I mean, if you did ask me out, I mean, it'd be probably so completely weird I'd, well, I don't know, run away or go mad or something.
Yeah.
Everything'd be ruined, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Yeah, anyway, yeah. I better go. I'm meeting all my gorgeous, large-breasted girlfriends. Honestly, they're so jealous of our friendship and they want to meet you in exactly the same way. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Oh, crap. Oh.
Remind me never to do that again.
Oh, how much did we get through?
Enough flagons of ale to float a galleon. Well, better get on. Early meeting with King Ferdinand, and I can't be... Why are we on a ship? We're on a ship.
Are we?
Yeah.
All right.
So, what happened last night?
Well, we had a lot to drink.
Yes.
Then around about midnight, Columbus said, let's all go for a curry. And I think you quite rightly pointed out that those sort of spices were not readily available in 15th century Spain. So Columbus said he knew, like, a quick way to this restaurant in India.
So we're sailing west and possibly off the edge of the world in search of a curry.
Yeah.
Well, but it better be worth it.
Yeah. I might have a chicken jalfrezi. What about you?
Probably just have a korma.
A korma? We're sailing around the world for a curry, and when we get there, you're going to have a korma?
I don't like stuff that's too spicy.
Oh, your big girl's blouse.
So, what sort of growth are you expecting in the medium to long term?
Gary, if you put every one of these babies we made end to end, it would go to the moon and back.
Right, is that a lot?
Damn right. By 2012, our products will be able to get you 3 times round the world. Use a new unit there, you're round the world.
Right, so can I actually see the figures?
I'm not going to show you the figures, Gary.
But the shareholders have to...
No,
but surely...
No, you're not hearing me, Gary. You're just listening to the words I'm using.
Pardon?
You see? There you are again, Gary. I'm not going to show you the figures. I'm going to show you a figure.
A figure?
It's a figure that says it all. We put the annual turnover against net profit interest payments and VAT, and do you know what figure popped out?
What?
This.
7?
7.
Exactly 7?
To the nearest significant figure.
But what does this figure mean?
Couldn't tell you, Gary, but at least last year it was 6, so we must be doing something right.
As you can see from the results of the aptitude tests, the majority of people in your organisation are in the correct position. And if you look at that portion of the graph, you can see who is most ready for a promotion.
Well, this is all very, very good. I'm very happy with your work.
Yeah, hold your horses. We've saved the best bit for last. Here are the results of your aptitude test.
Oh, no, I'd forgotten I'd agreed to do that. Hope it doesn't show me that I should demote myself to the cleaning department.
If only it did. Now, after collating all your answers, I'm afraid to tell you that you have no aptitudes at all.
Good joke. Sense of humour is definitely one of my aptitudes.
No. None at all. You have no detectable abilities or aptitudes. Yeah, I'm afraid in the outside world, you wouldn't be allowed to handle cutlery.
But I'm head of this company. I'm in charge of incomings, outgoings, hiring and firing. 2 months ago, I was named Businessman of the Year.
Yeah, I don't know how you got here myself. You have no aptitudes for anything at all. Unless you call sitting in the corner and eating your own belly button fluff a skill.
So what are you saying exactly?
You're a few planks short of a fence. A few cards short of a full deck. A few bricks short of a wall.
Yes.
A few of those unpleasant little coffee creams with a weird kind of marzipan fondant pieces short of a box of chocolates.
Yes,
a few anecdotes about a weird Russian relative with diarrhea short of an audience with Peter Ustinov.
Yep, shut up! Look, are you sure this is my test?
That is your name, isn't it?
Trent. Yes, that's me.
Yes.
I think.
Just look at the answers you put down for questions 1 to 3 in the math section.
Picture of a man with a big hairy nose, drawing of a machine gun and a lady with funny old cheek breasts. Those are all the right answers, aren't they?
No, they're not. It was 1 isosceles, 2 17, and 3. Neither. They both have 1 apple.
Oh. Isn't a picture of a lady with odd-shaped breasts the answer to any of them?
No.
Oh, dear. It does seem that my rapid rise to the top respect of thousands and millionaire lifestyle has all been some ghastly mistake.
Yes, it does seem so.
I always wondered why I crashed my car so often. Mm. And why I had such problems opening milk cartons and colouring in crosswords.
I think it's best you resign.
Yes, you're right. I should let someone with ability take over my job. Oh, just tell me this. What was the answer to question 4?
Oh, it was a drawing of a woman with a cow's body and really big udders.
Oh, I was so close. Funky Cow, starring Rob Webb, Chris Pavlo, Sally Hawkins, Stephen Kimman, Olivia Coleman. It was written by James Carey, Robin Innes, Catherine Shepherd, Adam Bromley, Sally Hawkins, John Holm, Ashley Blaker, Stuart Barker, Tim Fitzsimon. Script editors were Steve Bunn and James Carey. And the producer was Adam Bromley.
And you can have the Concrete Cow experience all over again by logging on to the radio.